What a wonderful God we serve this morning. Truly, he is the potter. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are everything to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence that we feel here today. And we thank you, Lord, that you died for us on Calvary. Lord, we're praying this morning that, Lord, your love would flow. Let it flow, Lord God, through every pew, into every heart. Lord, we want you to be real in our midst today. And so, God, as your word comes forth, I pray it would do so with anointing, for it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Father, I pray this now in Jesus' name, and let the church say, amen, amen. For those of you who have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to be reading from chapter 18. Very well-known scripture. Today, for the next few minutes, I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject of the beauty of brokenness. For time's sake, I'll read the first six verses of that chapter. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words.' And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work in the wheels," or on the wheels. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel.'" I'd like to change that word today and say, "O church of God." All right. We're going to also now move to the book of Psalms, reading one verse from chapter 35. Sorry, 34, chapter 34, reading verse 18. It says this: "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Everyone say, "broken heart." Say it again. "Broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." For many of us, the step to experiencing brokenness can just be a sentence away. Like a bomb, it drops on our lives and devastates what previously we have known to be complete or wholesome or united or untainted. For example, your position has been terminated. "I don't love you anymore. The tumor is malignant. I'm sorry, we can no longer find a heartbeat. It was just her time to go. The church elders are meeting to take a vote of confidence. Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. I've had second thoughts about the wedding. Dad, I'm at the police station. Your mother and I are getting a divorce. We're moving. I think Mum's had a stroke. How soon can you get to the hospital?" Even as I say some of these statements this morning, I know many of us in our minds are rushing to times that where these sentences have been the beginning of some sort of brokenness in our lives, where we felt the first crack of the breaking of that pot. Jeff Mannion puts it this way: in a sentence, we are ripped from normality and find ourselves in a new world, as if thrown from a moving train. We tumble into a world of singleness or of loneliness or into a pit of grieving. And now that which seemingly was a firm foundation has been removed from underneath our feet, and we are broken. If you've lived long enough, all of us have been through a time of brokenness and a time where our past normal changes into a present normal. When you are broken, you are very rarely the same again. Very rarely do you hold exactly to the views that you held before that point of brokenness. You rarely do things or rarely do things go back to how they used to be. This morning I feel deeply that the Lord would speak to us on this subject, because there are so many of us that have experienced this tragic event, or so it seems. Our lives have been shifted out of gear, and we have no idea how to equate this with our Christian walk or how to take the first steps into a new life, a new creation. This morning, I'd like to talk to you, even though it seems like some sort of oxymoron, I think the word they call it, but there is a beauty in brokenness. From an early age, my father would say, "Jonathan, you never stay still in God. You are either moving forward or you're drifting backwards away from him." You see, your Christian life is a living, breathing element of your life. Last week, I spoke about your Christian life being a cornerstone, being something in your life that is a firm foundation. And as our life develops, our Christian life develops. And as we go through different seasons in our lives, if we put God first, then he allows us to go through things that shape us into the people that we are now and the people that he wants us to be in the future. We are on a journey. We are walking a pathway. You see, Paul says when writing to the Hebrews that, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large crowd of witnesses to the life of the faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run." Everyone say run. Let us run. When I say run, it's not a stagnant thing. We're moving. Paul says, "Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Matthew says, "But he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." However, on any road worth walking, there are challenges that must be faced. And when walking a narrow road, which is the road that we walk, sometimes challenges can seem bigger than they are because there is no room to get around them. So therefore, our only option is to take a bridge of faith or to take the Master's hand and let him hold me through that thin, narrow road. You see, it's not as easy as being on the broad road, which leads to destruction. Because maybe if I live on the broad road, I can get around my challenge with a little bit of dishonesty or a little bit of cheating or a little bit of drugs or a little bit of alcohol, but at the end of the day, I'm taking a path that leads to destruction. So in the end, there's absolutely no point. On the narrow road, it's just me, my Jesus, and my faith in him. And there are times that I can be broken, and oh, it can hurt. It's in times of brokenness, many a time, we don't have words to express how we feel in our soul. That pillar in your life that you held on to is now gone. That thing that you laid your plans on is gone. For those of you that have lost loved ones, every moment of every day there is a pain in your heart. For some of you, when you think about what was done to you, it is like a dagger that has been plunged into you. And time can be a healer. But for some of you, just the mention of that person's name, just the mention of that area where whatever it was happened, leaves it like that wound is fresh, and it could have happened 50 years ago. Most of times, we are broken when we are alone. When there is nobody around. It may just be you by your bedside or sat in your chair. And you sit there and it feels as though your chest is open, laying bare your exposed heart, tears running down your face because you have no idea where to start again. But this morning, I am here to let you know that God sees your brokenness. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh, near to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." In your time of despair, God has not forgotten you. In your time of brokenness, the potter is getting ready to put you on his wheel and begin to mold you again. As the song says, "Take me and mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, you guide me, you lead me, you walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand." This morning, I do not know what you have gone through or what you are going through, but I am here to tell you that there is a beauty in brokenness that can bring you closer to the Lord, closer than you have ever been in your entire life. In dark seasons, it can feel as though nothing will stop the bleeding of your heart. But this morning, I am here to tell you that he is the balm of Gilead. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon, you'll find it just after the book of Ecclesiastes. I want you to read this for yourself because I believe that this message this morning will be one that will keep some of you. The Song of Solomon chapter 2. Reading from verse 1. It is a very simple, very clear, and very quick verse, but it says this: "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. If you do investigation and you read of the different abilities of roses, roses throughout many centuries have been used for their healing capabilities. I am here to tell you today that God is the rose of Sharon, and that in your brokenness, He Himself, as the rose of Sharon, has healing capabilities. He is the heart strengthener. You will also see in that verse, He says, I am the lily of the valleys. Notice there the plural, valleys, not the lily of the valley, but He is the lily of the valleys. Some of us love to be on the mountaintop, like to look over at the beautiful scenery, but understand that in life, mountains at the very top, there is nothing that grows there. It's just barren wasteland. But if you get into the valleys, even though low, even though you can't see as much, there is a lushness there. There is greenness there. And because God is the lily of the valleys, to me it states that He will be the lily in every valley that I walk through in this life. We read it yesterday. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of the sinner. But the second verse says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he doth meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, but there is a beauty in brokenness, where in that valley you can find all the strength you will need. You will find the hands of the potter to remold you. Brokenness makes you vulnerable spiritually, and it brings you closer to the Lord, because my logic is being readjusted. In most cases, that which I previously relied on is no longer present. So as a Christian, I lean more on my Savior. This is why songs such as Leaning on the Everlasting Arms are so priceless. You can't write songs like that if you don't know what it is to be broken. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. When the world would have you think that you are weak as a Christian to lean on Christ, the Word of God implores us that when we are weak, He is strong. And if He is God Almighty, then if I would lean on Him, I have all the strength I will ever need to make it through this life. There is intimacy with God that can be had when one is broken. With a marriage, there is a word called intimacy, in that when one is wounded, when one is broken, the other is able to minister and to serve the other through tears, through sometimes stuttering voices, through tissues, through hugs. Hearts are knitted together forever through this kind of brokenness. Does anybody know what I mean this morning? And so it is with our Lord God. There have been times when we've been broken, wounded. I have sat in the presence of God and cried. But it almost feels as though you can feel His hand on the wound. And day by day you understand the Psalm in 91 where it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes, I can get excited about church and I can sing and dance, but when I am broken, it goes deeper than just what happens on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Thursday. There is a beauty in my brokenness that God looks upon. But once God touches you in a time of brokenness, Church of God, you will never be the same. I want to talk to you just for a few moments on Jacob. Those of you who have your Bibles, when you turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. I'm reminded of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. The context of this story is Jacob is on his way back to Esau. Esau, his brother who he lied to, took his birthright. Some of us could say, well, Esau was the foolish one. But the bottom line is, Jacob cheated. His name meant supplanter. But after years being with his uncle Laban, it was time for him to head back and make amends with his brother. Jacob's on his way back. And what he's doing is trying to send lots of the things that God has blessed him with in front of him. So Esau gets all of that stuff, his heart softened, and then he forgives him. But there is a key verse that I want to bring to your attention here in the book of Genesis. He sends his family off, and the Bible specifically states that Jacob is left alone. He's left alone. One of the key things that I believe God wants to bring to us here is that when you are truly broken, in most cases, you are alone. No Facebook friends, no Twitter friends, no girlfriends on the phone, no boyfriends on the phone. It is just you and God. If you want him to be there, I would put it to you this morning that sometimes God wants to bring us to another level in him. And so he would allow things that would break us to come to pass. But instead of running to the King of Kings, instead of running to the heart strengthener, instead of running to the lily of the valleys, I take it as an opportunity to run to someone to chat it over with. And there are times for that. But there are also times as we become more and more mature in God, where God would expect me not to run to the telephone first, but to run to my altar first. Because I've been broken before, and I realize that my help does not come from my friends. My help cometh from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And so Jacob begins to wrestle. We see the word says, when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, the angel touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated when he wrestled with him. What happens is that at that time when Jacob is alone, he begins to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. And when they at some point during this wrestling match, the angel of the Lord dislocates Jacob's thigh. His hip. He puts his hip where it shouldn't be. There is a breaking that takes place. A dislodging of things. I want you to follow where I'm going here. Because at the breaking point, you see the quality of the man. You see what really matters in Jacob's life. because when his hip is dislodged, all he can do is hold on. I will not let you go until you bless me. All I need is you. Now, I don't know if you understand where I'm going here today, Church of God, but there can be so much waffle in Christendom. I can speak to people who know how to say the right thing to me at the right time because they've been in it their whole life. They know Christian talk. They know how to make it seem as though everything's okay, but God would allow certain things to come into our lives where he is looking for us. He's looking for a different anointing. He's looking for us to get to a different level where he can bless us. I would have you know that after that night, because of the quality of that man, no longer was his name supplanter, but he became a prince with God because of what came out of his brokenness. There is a beauty in brokenness. You know, Martin Luther King said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. I put it to you, Church of God, that there is a beauty in brokenness, that you will only realize what God has invested in you once you go through these times. In Mark chapter 14, if you want to turn to that scripture, we read the well-known story of the woman with the alabaster box. I want you to note a few points about this story. We know this story well, but the alabaster box was first broken and then the anointing flowed. You get what I say there? It was first broken and then the anointing poured out. Because there is a cost to the anointing. Breaking is difficult. Breaking hurts. Breaking shifts things around. And it is not a nice process. You see, the Pharisees despised what she was doing. They didn't understand the relevance of what she was doing. And I put it to you that many will not understand the relevance of your breaking before God. But oh, the anointing that flows from a pure and contrite heart is unmatched. It is unrivaled because it's not a case that I'm saying, God, let me arise, but it's God, would you arise? Let your will be done. And the anointing of John the Baptist is one I love so much because he says that I would decrease and that you would increase. There is a beauty in brokenness. There is an aroma that the God of heaven cannot ignore, for it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. From the anointing that day, as the alabaster box was broken, there came healing for that woman. There came forgiveness of sins for that woman. Because she was broken. The brokenness is beautiful before God as it releases a power that humans cannot contain. in concluding this morning, as we move into this week, this Holy Week, or this week where we remember what took place those last 7 days of Jesus's life, I want you to remember the brokenness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says all the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Jesus Christ bodily. Jesus said to Philip, "Philip, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." More specifically, the book of John, chapter 1, says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you jump to verse 14, it then says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So if the Word is God and the Word became flesh, I think I'm entitled to believe that God clothed himself in flesh and walked among mankind as Jesus. Is that a fair comment? God in a vessel. Almighty God in a vessel. The Bible says this in the book of Corinthians 2:8. "The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." I believe this. Had the enemy understood that Jesus Christ was God in a vessel, they would not have crucified my Lord, because they would not have realized or understood. You know, sometimes we think that the devil is all-knowing. He is not all-knowing, or else they would not have crucified my Lord, bringing freedom to us at this time. And so in youth, my Jesus, he startled the wise men of the day. God in flesh. The Pharisees provoked him, but still his body, his casing, stood firm, containing the power of Almighty God. They whispered against him, but still his body was not broken. But he foretold in the book, or in all of the Gospels, but specifically we see it quoted in Corinthians 11:24. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then, Church of God, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they took my Lord, ready to break his body. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They beat him. They beat the body of my Lord. And they stretched him high between two thieves. "It is finished," he said. And the Lamb of God's body was broken. But this morning I am here to declare to you that when the body of my Lord was broken, there was a beauty in brokenness, because it released a life source that we have our living and being in today. This morning, out of that brokenness, we have life. Out of that brokenness, we have joy, for love grew where the blood fell. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me. Because the body of my Lord Jesus Christ was broken, I can have beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And now, because of Jesus, there is no sickness that cannot be healed. There is no burden that cannot be lifted. There is no storm that cannot be weathered. There is no devastation that cannot be relieved or relieved. There is no sorrow that cannot be erased. There is no poverty cycle that cannot be broken. There is no sinner that cannot be saved. There is no perishing that cannot be rescued. There is no fallen that cannot be lifted. There is no hurt that cannot be removed. And there is no broken relationship that cannot be mended. There is no difference that cannot be resolved. There is no hindrance that cannot be shaken. There is no limitation that cannot be assaulted. And there is no grief that cannot be comforted. There is a beauty in brokenness for Christians that understand what Jesus Christ did and what he is to us. But God this morning is saying, come unto me. Let me remold you. Let me use that hurt and let me turn it into something that will bring life. There is a beauty in brokenness. Let's stand to our feet. I'm just going to invite the instrumentalists just to come. Key of G, when you just play really soft. Before we leave this place today, I want you to just spend some time talking to the Lord. Just as the music plays, I want you just to talk to the Lord about your broken situation. Tell him how much of a burden it is to you, but today you give that to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that truly you are the author and finisher of our faith. Today we rest in you. I'm asking God that your spirit would just rest upon this group of wonderful people. For we need you more than ever. God, turn my brokenness into something beautiful. For Lord God, we give you our heart this morning. Broken in two, we surrender it to you and say, mold me, make me, fill me, and let me be what you've called me to be. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Here I am waiting by thee. I'm